Puis stand. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us here in your house today, where once again you have fed us with your word and with the sacrament. We thank you for the blessings that are ours in Jesus. Now lead us through this day and bless us as we look at your word. Amen. The word of God for our focus this morning are actually the words that come after the gospel lesson, where the woman left the water jug and went into the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" This is God's word. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours most abundantly from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, the hymn we just sang was chosen weeks before this weekend. It certainly fits perfectly. Have no fear, little flock. But it was chosen to tie into the theme for the message was, don't be afraid to speak up like the woman at the well. But it also fits so perfectly as we look at what's going on. As we face coronavirus fears and maybe hysteria, some would say, yet best practices. Best practices is what it's all about. You had an insert in your bulletin. This came from Synod, and it talks about praying, number one, talking to the Lord about this. There have been cases, and Gary gave me a packet of information about a cholera epidemic that was turned away because of prayer. Really a cool thing. Keep gathering together, it says. Well, we will gather together and worship as long as it's legal. The state does have the right for an epidemic to close churches, along with everything else. And that's part of our state constitution. It's there. They sent that out to us yesterday from the district. Let's remind us. Keep in touch. We'll try to do that with you. Make sure you know everything that's going on. Take care. And above all, take courage. Joshua 1, verse 9 is a verse that fits so perfectly as we look at the news, as we see what we're experiencing right now. Let's read it together. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified or discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go, and whatever happens to you, whatever happens in this world, God is with us. That's our message at Christmas time, right? O come, Emmanuel, God be with us, and he is. In 1 Timothy 1, Paul wrote, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, and love, and self-control, so we don't have to be afraid. We can trust the Lord. The woman at the well is a story about dealing with fear. It's a really neat story. It's an example of how God puts us in the right place at the right time for his right purpose. Around noon one day, Jesus arrived in the town of Sychar, a small Samaritan town. That's precisely when the woman shows up to draw water from the well. This well was dug by Jacob, a historic well. It had great history for the Jews, the Samaritans, the Christians, and Muslims. That's what it looks like today. It is a historic well. So Jesus asks her to pull up a bucket of water for him. This surprised her because the Jews would have nothing to do with the Samaritans. Then she asked, in fact, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and the one who is asking you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And now starts a series of questions and answers that have a profound effect on the woman and give us a great example today. Sir, you have nothing to draw about the water with. The well is deep. Where are you going to get this living water? Then the Lord goes on to explain, and let's read this together too. This is so perfect. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. Whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. What's he talking about? The gift of faith and trusting in him. The living water of Jesus who's there for us, who quenches our sin-parched souls. Do you know what this is? Is there any proof that people are drinking this living water, have this living water in them? You want any proof of that today? I wish I had a mirror. Here you are. Here you are, faithful in God's house, even though we're bombarded with all the negative news out there. Good for you. The living water is flowing among us here. We thank God for that. Well, now this woman is really listening. She says, sir, give me this water so I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. She was thinking, wow, this is cool. It was so much harder in that day. Adam, you want a drink of water, what do? You turn on the faucet or go to the refrigerator, right? Yep, so easy. They had to go to a well, drop a bucket way down there, pull it up, and then carry the water back to wherever their home was. It was not as easy as it is for us today. So Jesus uses this moment to reveal himself to her. And he does it in a very educated way, a wonderful way of teaching her. Go call your husband and come here. The woman answered, I have no husband. Jesus said, you're right. You've had five husbands. The one you're living with now is not your husband. Wow. She says, I perceive that you're a prophet. I can see that you're not an ordinary man. Then she goes on to say, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And now, the heart of the story for her. Jesus said, I who speak to you am he. Can you imagine how that those words went right through her soul, penetrated to the deepest part of her being? This is the one. This is the one we've all been waiting for. This is the promised Christ. She was at the right place at the right time for God's right purpose, just like we are this morning. Now, there are many times we do not understand God's timing, especially when we can't figure out why he directs things in what appears to be strange directions. But that was not the case here. The woman of the well was blessed to meet Jesus. She had just met her Savior, and she was being changed dramatically. And all the verses right after our gospel lesson. So a woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? Wow. The people were amazed. Jesus went and talked to them in Samaria, in the town, and stayed with them for 2 days. And many believed because of his word. What impressed me so much about the story is the fact that as soon as she came to believe that Jesus was her long-promised Savior, she couldn't keep it to herself. A lot of us here are lifers, right? Lifelong Christians. And, you know, we believe it. We celebrate it. It's the most important part of us. But that newness that she had, that excitement of going from confused and lost and hopeless to filled with the hope that passes all human understanding, she couldn't keep it to herself. Come and see a man that told me everything I did. Can this be the Christ? Jesus encourages us to do the same. How are we doing? You're out with friends having a great time just talking about the news of the day. Then the conversation turns to religion. Someone says, it doesn't matter what a person believes as long as he is sincere. Others agree. What would you say? Or maybe you're getting acquainted with your next door neighbor. And in the course of the conversation, she says, we don't send our children to Sunday school or church. We don't think it's right to force religion on them. They can choose whatever religion they like when they're old enough and wise enough to make their own choice. What would you say? Or hear someone declare, anybody who wants to get ahead in this world has to look out for good old number one. What would you say? One of the biggest fears we have is that others will think we are strange and won't accept us if we talk about Jesus. But remember, perfect love casts out fear. And since Jesus loves you truly, like the woman at the well, you don't have to be afraid to share him. In fact, at times like this, people are looking for answers, for the big answers. This is a perfect time to be ready to let the light of Jesus shine through you, to tell people why you're not worried, because you're trusting the Lord no matter what. And being careful, like Elizabeth said, we trust the Lord, but then we do all the other things we need to do to protect ourselves. See, the problem is that fear can get in the way of speaking up for Jesus. What was our hymn? Have no fear, little flock. For it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We've talked about this many times. The antidote to fear is remembering the truth, that we are winners, that heaven is ours for sure. And again, we can't get that on our own. We can't earn it on our own. It's his free gift. And since he's done that, which is impossible for us to do on our own, we can trust him for every day until then, right? It sure makes sense to me. Fear does get in the way, though. It did for Peter and the other disciples on Monday, Thursday. Again, showing human beings have problems. Peter declared, even if all fall away, I will not. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered him. Today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But then Peter responded emphatically, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And the others said the same. A few hours later, a simple servant girl confronts Peter. I don't know the man, is his response in fear. How many of us are afraid to let others know that we are Christians, we are believers? Do you pray out loud with your family when you eat in public? Are you willing to share your faith with others? When was the last time you invited someone to come with you to church and sit 6 feet apart? Don't be afraid. God's perfect love casts out fear, even the fear of sharing Jesus. I love 1 John 4. I think I went too far, didn't I? Okay. 1 John 4 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Are you ready to speak up for Jesus? We speak up for Christ, we make it clear that our relationship to Jesus is the most important part of our lives. Again, I love the way Peter puts it. Let's read this together too. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Are you ready? To let people know why you have peace and joy. To let people know why you are confident about the future. And again, always reminding us with gentleness and respect, never acting as if we're better than others, but sharing the simple story. So, we're told, the woman left her water jar, went into the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I did. Can this be the Christ? And many of the people came to believe because of her testimony. He told me all that I ever did. Why is it important to share our faith? Because our faith is in the only one who can save people. 17 years ago, March of 2003, we Americans were celebrating the successful rescue of Private Jessica Lynch. Remember that name? Navy SEALs, Army Rangers carried out a daring rescue of Private Lynch because of a compassionate and courageous Iraqi who passed on information about her location. With U.S. military precision, they swooped on in and returned her to safety. As they were transporting her out of enemy control, she implored our troops not to leave her alone. The greatest rescue operation of all time occurred on that Friday we call Good. Jesus swooped down to enemy territory, our sinful earth, and rescued us from the clutches not of some evil earthly regime, but from the damning grasp of Satan. Don't leave us, Jesus. Abide with me. And his answer is yes. And that victory is yours. It's mine. It's available to all who turn to Jesus. We want to share him with others. We want others to know that only Jesus can make anyone acceptable to God and make them ready for heaven. Again, we have this precious promise. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now, the name isn't up there, is it? But we know the name. The cross reminds us of who it is. It is our Jesus. Are you ready to share him? Vonda K. Van Dyke was competing in the Miss America pageant. While she was waiting, she said, I was a Christian competing in a contest that some religious people would criticize me for entering. She smiled as she recalled the tense moments that preceded her title selection. I was sitting up there in the top five. I paused and prayed that something would come up in the questioning would allow me to share my Christian faith with the millions watching television. She was ready. Then came Bert Park's question. I understand that you always carry a Bible with you. Do you consider your Bible to be a good luck charm? I do not consider my Bible a good luck charm. It is the most important book I own. My relationship to God is not a religion, but a faith. I believe in him and trust him and pray that even tonight his will would be done. Vonda K. was in fact saying, come and see, just like the woman at the well. Who is perhaps the most famous American composer of marches? John Philip Sousa. And I just love Stars and Stripes Forever. Sitting in his hotel room one summer evening, Mr. Sousa heard an organ grinder in the street below playing his favorite march in slow, dragging manner. He dashed to the street. Here, here, he called to the street musician. That's not the way to play that march. He seized the handle of the organ and turned it vigorously. I can't do that to the page here, though. The music rushed out, spirited and snappy. The organ man bowed low and smiled. The next night, Mr. Sousa heard the organ again. This time, the tempo was right. Looking out the window, he saw a crowd gathering around the player. Over the organ was a large card with the grinder's name and under it, Pupil of John Philip Sousa. The organ grinder was quick to put into practice what he had learned from such a great teacher and remind people of him. Remember how God changed Saul into Paul, made him the greatest witness for Christ? That is just the way it was for the woman at the well. That's the way it is for you and me too. So we get to do what we're doing now, and we get to invite others to join us here at the foot of the cross every week, not for the glory of St. Paul's, but for the sake of that individual soul that we want to reach, who can have the same treasures we have. Wow. And it's good for us to be here, rubbing shoulders with the daily guests 6 feet apart, or maybe tapping shoes or whatever you're into. Like the woman of the well, we get to look to Jesus. Like the woman at the well, we get to listen to Jesus. Like the woman at the well, we get to share Jesus without fear. That's not the one I wanted. There it is. Share Jesus without fear. And what's that man doing? What's in his right hand? Probably a Bible, maybe a catechism, a Bible. What's he doing with his left hand? Pointing to Jesus. Nathaniel is one that's an example for us. He proclaimed Jesus. He said, you are the Son of God. Or like John the Baptist, who identified Jesus as the Lamb of God. Or we can be like the blind man, who made this insightful conclusion. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Or we can be like Martha in her confession. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. Or like believing Thomas, my Lord and my God. Or like the woman at the well, come and see. You know, we like to do, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart. I have that on a plaque at home, but I have another plaque, and it's similar to this one. Only one life will soon be passed. Only for done what's done for Christ will last. And what's our main job? Come and see. Look at our Jesus. So, dear ones, don't be afraid of anything. Trust the Lord to lead and guide and bless, to do for you what you did for the woman at the well, put you at the right place at the right time for his right purpose, keeping you healthy, keeping you safe, and keeping you on the job, witnessing for him. In Jesus' precious and saving name, amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, give you his peace, his healing, his strength, his protection, his everything. Amen. Good morning once again. Please remember as you leave today, we will have ushers with the offering bags and just in the center aisle, so come out the center aisle, please. But the other thing to remember, and I just lost it, is this. We made coffee today. So we were planning to have the coffee hour, but the coffee is all made. Grab a cup of coffee for the road. We don't want to waste it, okay? And keep praying. And sharing Jesus, let us join in our closing prayer. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I humbly do my part to win that soul for thee. Amen. And I almost forgot to tell you that just a little bit of tweaking and the elevator's done. They get one more inspection and right, Scott? And we'll be having our elevator. Wow! Isn't that something? Just amazing. Well, what's more amazing is God loves you in this world too. Let's share that. Oh, and one other pastoral order. You ready? This is an order. Stay healthy. Depart in peace.